A few administrative notes. Again, it's important to note that the Bechina will be on Thursday. The Bechina covers not only the Shiurim, the Chazar Shiur, Pasar Benubiger Shiur, but it also covers the Shulchan Aruch. There will be questions from the Shulchan Aruch that are not covered in the Shiurim, and that's again the Simanim and Hilchos Pesach that are at the front of the booklet, the Simanim and Hilchos Pesach, and the Simanim here in Yeridea, that's here in Hechsher Kelim, and there's one Simon, I think, in Hilchos Mikvos, that you have to know, and there will be questions from all over, from both of those two areas, and they're generally split 50-50. 50% from the Shurim.
Which
Simon Reish Beis, I think.
Oh,
I think it's in the book packet. Just don't forget about that. And it will be 50-50, 50% from the Shurim, 50% from the Shulchan Aruch. And generally split the Bechina 50% Hechsher Kelim, 50% Tefillas Kelim. But because of the skewed nature of this year's Shurim, I'm not sure, maybe we might, I might change the Bechina to reflect how we, much time we spent on each, but I haven't thought that through yet. Pasuk says in Parshas Matos, Ach es hazahav es hakesef es hanachoshes es barzel b'dil v'alfares, the six types of metal, kol davar sheyavu be'esh taviru be'esh v'tahir. Now that's talking about the kelim of Midian. When they captured Midian, they took their kelim too, and they were machshir the kelim. Ach b'mei nida yischata. But then the next pasuk says, and you have to put it b'mei nida. That's talking not about hechsher kelim, but about tvilas kelim. So it sounds like this is a din midaraisa. That not only do you have to do hechsher kelim when they took the kelim of Midian, did they do hechsher kelim? They also did tefilas kelim. Rambam. So it sounds like it's a din midaraisa. However, the prichadosh here at the beginning of Simin Kuf Chaf points to the strange lashon of the Rambam that Rabbi Neuberger highlighted as well, that might indicate that it's only midarabanan. Maybe yes, maybe no. But I think the prichadosh also quotes the Metuvas HaRashba, that it is a din midor, who says explicitly that it's a din midoraisa. Maybe it's halacha meroshim misinai, that's what the Rambam means, mipi hashmu alamdu, but it is definitely, it seems to be, most poskim assume that this is a din midoraisa. You see that from the Shulchan Aruch as well, because when the Shulchan Aruch is discussing a suffix that the Gemara has in Avodah Zarah, the Shulchan Aruch is in Sif Tes, is discussing a suffix in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah about Mashkon, that if an Oved Kochavim gives a Mashkon to a Yisrael. I mean, I gave him money, and now in order to ensure the loan, he gives me a Mashkon. So can I use that Mashkon without doing Tefillas Kelim, or do I require Tefillas Kelim? So the subject of the Gemara is whether Mashkon Kizvini or Lav Kizvini. Is it like a sale or not? And it leaves off B'tzarchiyun. You know, the Gemara doesn't resolve it. So the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir, that you do require Tefillah. Some of the later Achronim proved that the Shulchan Aruch was Machmer. Why was he Machmer? Safik Darabanan Lakula. So it must be that the Shulchan Aruch felt that Tfilas Kelim is Daraisa and Safik Daraisa the Chumrah. But it's, even though maybe the Rambam implies this Halacha Moshe Misinai, it's generally assumed that this mitzvah of doing Tfilas Kelim comes from the Pasuk Ach B'mei Nida Yischata, which it says by the Klei Midyan. The Ramban, our Torah there, asks a very interesting question. The Ramban asks, why did the Torah only require Tefillas Kelim by the Klei Midyan? Before, previously, there was already the Mechama Sichon Va'og. Presumably, they took their Kelim as well. They looted them as well. So why did they not require Tefillas Kelim there? So the Ramban asks that kasha. I don't think he gives an answer to it. So the Achronim give all types of wild answers to that, which spawn different types of wild svaras by Tefillas Kelim. One of the svaras that the Achronim throw out, I think the Minchas Yisra quotes this, is from the Gitu'e Tara, the Sefer on Hilchos Mikvos, Rabbi Neuberger mentioned as well, who feels that perhaps because Midian was in Eretz Yisrael, Sichon Va'og was in Chutz La'aretz, Midian was in Eretz Yisrael, and any kli that comes from Eretz Yisrael is automatically deemed a klei Yisrael. Because Avram Avinu was kana kol all of Eretz Yisrael. So any metal that's mined in Eretz Yisrael is already Jewish metal. Extremely odd. It's the Gidui Tara. Yeah, some of the posts can call that.
That's why you don't eat
Kelim? That's why only in clay. No, why? Oh no, Sichon Va'og was in Eretz Yisrael, and Midian was not. Right, that's it. I'm sorry, I said it backwards. So Midian, which was not an Eretz Yisrael, that requires Tvi'os Kelim. Sichon Va'og, that was an Eretz Yisrael, did not require Tvi'os Kelim. So I think the Minchas Yitzchak already asked, it doesn't make sense for two reasons. Number one, we assume that when a guy buys property, a non-Jewish person buys property in Eretz Yisrael, that he is Koneh it, and he's Koneh it and the metal that's underneath it. Doesn't retain some sort of Jewishness. And additionally, the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch later. Oh no, that's it. That's his argument. So that's one suggestion to answer the Ramban's kasha, the teretz of the Gedulei Tara, that only Klei Midyan, which was in Chutz La'aretz, did they require Tvi'os Kelim because it wasn't Jewish metal. But in Eretz Yisrael, Sichon Va'og, which was Jewish metal, they didn't require Tvi'os Kelim.
It would still be assembled by
that's the
non-Jew, right?
It would be assembled by a non-Jewish person. So the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Tes that if I give metal, Sif Ches, Sif, I forgot where. Later. Sif. Where's the Uman Kona Vishrachui? He's Sif Yud. That Israel that gives a medal to an Ove Kochavim who makes a Kli doesn't require it. The Ramah disagrees, but that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Huh? All of these halachas are in Simon Kuchpas. Another second teretz that's quoted by the Achronim is quoted by the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Kli Chemda in his Sefer. Our Torah also quotes this teretz from a Gon Echad from a town that you never heard of, who says another interesting svarah. He says that by Sichon Va'og they killed the men and the women and children too. So by Sichon Va'og, since they killed the women and the children too, the Kalim that were left over fell to Hefker. And then the Jewish army, as they were conquering, took it from Hefker. So if you take, says if you take, if a non-Jewish person is Mapke the Kli, and then I'm Konam in a Hefker, then I don't require Tfilas Kalim. In Midian, they left alive the women and the children. So then the Kalim fell Birusha to the woman, and then the Jewish soldiers came and took the Kalim from the woman. So that's like taking it from a non-Jewish person. Then I require Tfilas Kalim. But if it first goes to the Rishus of Hefker, and then I'm Konet, I would not require Tfilas Kalim. Again, Rav Pesach Frank throws this out and says it was ridiculous. So then if I have a kli that I bought from a non-Jewish person, I'm mafkir it, and then I'm koned again, I shouldn't require tefillas kelim, even if I was koned again, because it was a b'shus of hefker in between. It's a little odd. He says, just because you have a kasha doesn't, you know, from a kasha, shtarbenish. It's a good kasha, but it doesn't mean you could create new halachas. However, what is important, halacha l'maisa, is that true if it went into hefker and then I'm zochem in a hefker, I do still require tefillas kelim, but if I never have in mind to be kona, let's say this kli was made hefker by a non-Jewish person, and then I decide I'd like to use the kli, but I don't have in mind to be kona that kli, to acquire that kli as my property. I just want to use it. So the Sefer Tefillas Kelim quotes from Shlomo Zalman that then I would not require tefillas kelim. The only time we don't accept the Gon Echad who said the svar is when I have in mind to be konet min a hefker, went to hefker, and then I'm konet. So he says, well, since there was hefker in between, it wasn't straight from a non-Jewish person to a Jewish person, then you don't require tefillas kelim. We would say no. If I have a mind to be konet, and it was once in the property of a non-Jewish person and never had tefillas kelim in between, you would require tefillah. But if I never have a mind to be konet, then that might be an operable svarah. Shlomo Zalman, though, asks on himself in this important halacha. In the last sif in Simin Kuf Chaf, the Shulchan Aruch deals with what does a person do who forgot to be tovel his kelim before Shabbos. And now he wants to use the kli on Shabbos. So to be tovel the kli on Shabbos is near kimasak and mana. It looks like I'm fixing the kli. So he can't do that. So the Shulchan Aruch struggles with this. So he recommends to give it to a non-Jewish person and accept it back b'matana as a she'ela, as a borrowing, not as a matana. Meaning I'll give it to him and then he'll lend it to me and then I wouldn't require tefillas kelim. So Shlomo Zalman asks, why not just tell the guy to be mafkir it and not have a mind to pick it up again and not have a mind to be koned again, just to use it? So Shlomo Zalman says, you see that this is not the best etza. Even though he thinks it works, this is clearly not, you know, if you have any other option, we would prefer that you not rely on this. Why not? Because it seems like you're using that kli. I mafker it, then I take it back into my kitchen and leave it on my counter. But I don't have a mind to be Konet. It's extremely odd. We would say you probably do have a mind to be Konet.
But giving it to an angel, wouldn't that be a Kinyan? Shabbat?
Right.
Shabbat?
Right. Yeah. Right, Matana's Mata with Tzarech Mitzvah. Oh, the question is Matana on the giver, on the taker? It's a different issue.
Might be anyway.
But Neil is right. It's Makom Mitzvah, Matana's Mata. Anyway, so Shlomo Zalman says he thinks that when you have blessed brayer, when you have no other option, you could rely on this heter that you could be mafkir it and continue to use it, Bataras Hefker. Rabbi Neuwiger pointed out a very practical application of this halacha might be by the tin pans, which we're going to discuss. Does a person have to do tefillas kayam on tin pans because it's disposable and made out of aluminum? But even if it does, so Rabbi Neuwiger thought, this is a pain, you're going to take every tin pan to the mikvah, it's laborious, so he thought to just have a mind to be mafkir them, or never had to have a mind to be kona them from the store. And he thought that even though Shlomo Zalman thought that that's not the greatest svara, because lemaisa you're using them all the time, and people obviously you have a mind, you might have a mind to be kona them. Tin pans people give away, and they don't have a mind to get them back. So he thought, really, we don't have a mind to be kona tin pans. It's just things that we use. But not necessarily that I would think that it's. I have such a bias on them that when I give it to my friend, I don't expect it back. That type of idea. I heard. It is a kinyan, but since we're less makbid about them, if one disappears, we don't. I lend one to someone, I don't ask for it back. So he thought, even if it's possible to assume, we could understand it easier that a person doesn't have a mind to be calling a tin pan. As opposed to a pot. Right. Because if I lend you a pot, I would ask for it back. So, but if I don't think it's mine, why am I asking for it back? Sorry.
It doesn't extend.
No, he thought specifically by tin pans. Shlomo Zalman said it by anything, but he thought at least an application where we could rely on this type of heter would be.
Rabbi Neuwiger thinks that this is an ideal insa.
No.
If with a tin pan.
No, I just don't. I think.
Then what's the difference?
Tin pans is problematic to take to them every time you need to use tin pan to run to the mikvah. Until the tin pan is.
It's semi-disposable.
It's also disposable too. You have other tzadim. So he threw this in as another tzadok. This is hearsay, but they say that Rabbi Lichtenstein relies on this with his electrical kelim. That so whenever it's a problem to be tovel an electrical kli, so because maybe it might break when you tovel it. So we mentioned Rabbi Neuwiger spoke about this topic at length. So one of the tzadim that Rabbi Aaron relies upon is that he doesn't have in mind to be kona his electrical kelim. He uses them b'taras hefker. But he's an Emes Dikayid. On Purim, one Purim, they say, this is what I heard, I forgot who told me this, maybe it was Rabbi Neuwiger, I don't remember, that one Purim, the guys took his kelim, as the Purim shtick, they took his electrical kelim, because they're Hefker. So when they came for the Purim suit that they took out when they left, they took the electrical kelim with them. So after Purim, they came to give them back, and he wouldn't take them back. Because he's your Karnim and a Hefker, it's yours. He didn't want it back. With that, we should all be on that madriga. Yeah. So again, so tefilas kelim is probably a dimmi d'oraisa, which it said, which is learned out of the pasuk ach b'meinida yischata in the parsha of klei midyan. And even though it's in the parsha of klei midyan, which is primarily discussing hechsher kelim, tefilas kelim is not the kasher the kli. If you would use the kli without doing tefilas kelim, the Ramah says the food does not become aser. It's a mitzvah to do tefilas kelim. What is the nature of this mitzvah? So the Rishonim, the Ritva, and this is a heter, quote from the Yerushalmi, that it's type of conversion of the kelim, like a giyur of the kelim. We're converting the kelim to be Jewish kelim. So therefore the Rishonim say that if a Jewish person, let's say, cooks treif in a kli, so you have to do hechsher kelim. That's learned out of the parsha of klei midyan. Does he also require tefilas kelim? So we would say no. Why not? Don't the two go hand in hand in the parsha of klei midyan? The answer is because this is nothing to do with kashering the kli. This is converting the kli. And before it was a Jewish kli, it continues to be a Jewish kli, despite the fact that you cooked treif in the kli. For this reason as well, the poskim say, Rabbi Avadi Yosef and Ramosha, that if a person is eating, if a person bought a kli from a mumar, a Jewish person, Machal Shavs the Farhesi would say. And not be curious. Dino Kamumar. Dino Ka'akum. So do I require tevila when I'm buying it from a mumar dino ka'akum? So Rav Moshe and Rav Adi Yosef say no. Because even though mumar dino ka'akum, we spoke about this at the end of Hilchas Geirus, the last Ramon Hilchas Geirus says that it requires, even mumar dino ka'akum requires tevila l'chumra. It's a chumra that we make them go through the process of tevila, like they're rejoining the Jewish religion. Even though mumar dino ka'akum doesn't necessarily oust them from the Jewish religion, there's still Yisrael shechata v'shechata Yisrael, who just says the chumra that is dino ka'akum as well. In this, we don't extend that to tevila. The haraya is that the mumar himself doesn't require tevila, only the chumra, not meikar adin. So if he doesn't require tevila meikar adin, his kelim also don't require tevila. However, the Avnei Nezer thinks that no, we treat him like an akum l'chumra, and requires tevila l'chumra, so his kelim should also require tevila l'chumra. It's not that meikar adin, he doesn't, then it's just some sort of added idea. Meikar adin l'chumra, he requires tevila. So since he requires tevila, his kelim also requires tevila. Rabbi Neuberger quoted from Rav Kook this svara l'kula, that if a person is eating at a mumar's house, and one has the right to assume that if he's a mumar, Chal Shabbos for us, he has not the courage, that he wasn't told about his kelim, so can you eat off his kelim? Which was a discussion we're going to have later about eating off of non-tovel kelim. So if cooked was mitzarif l'kula, the fact that he's a mumar anyway, and the whole point of being of doing tefillas kelim is to be megayer the kelim, but they're not going to be nisgayer by him because he's a mumar, so he doesn't require it. It's like it's still by an aklum. He doesn't require tefillas kelim. Like if I would eat at an Akum's house, I don't have to worry about Tevilas Kalim. It's his kui that I'm borrowing.
That's
a Neuberger quote. I think he prefaced it with the fact that it's surprising that it came from Rav Kook, but you know, all those type of you would have thought it would come from some other type of source. But yeah, I think that's what he wanted to say. Yeah, it's a problem. Machal Shabbos is my name, or generally not considered Dino Ka'akum.
And even this Mano.
Then he's not, then he, right.
So it's even hard to, probably very hard.
That's by Mumu Chal Shabbos. What if he's an Apikores? I don't know. Rav Kook, whatever. This is a historical discussion. But whenever the halacha would apply that Mumu Dino Kakam, that's a different shear, then this is a Tzad Mahakel. In Ilkas Hekshra Kelim, in the Klei Midyan, so first is a pasuk about Hechsher Kelim, then the pasuk about Tevilas Kelim, then back to another pasuk about Hechsher Kelim. But the Rishonim assume that L'chadchila you should do Hechsher Kelim, then Tevilas Kelim. There's a machlokes on Shulchan Aruch if that Seder is ma'akev or not. What if I did Tevilas Kelim, then Hechsher Kelim? If I bought a trefa kli from a nachri. So we are machmir on that. The shachter says you should be machmir and tovel the kli again. It's a very easy thing to be machmir on. Let's say you did tefillas kelim, then I kashered the kli. So then you found out that you're supposed to do hechsher kelim and tefillas kelim. Okay, so go back and tovel it again. It's not a hard thing to be machmir on, and that's how we pass it.
So you should
tovel
again?
Yeah.
Is this the
shachter's
name? Yeah, I think it's the shachter. Oh, I don't think so. It's my folks who shachter. Why should the Seder be Ma'akev? So the Achronim explain that the Seder is Ma'akev based on that idea that the Rishonim say what the whole point of the Tevila is. The whole point of the Tevila is to be Megayer the Kli. So if the Kli is still Treif, it's like Tovah V'Sheretz B'Yado. How could the Kli become a kosher Kli, a Jewish Kli, if it's still Treif? Can't make kosher food. So that's why you first have to kasher the Kli, then be Tovah the Kli. Because then it's right to become part of a Jewish home. Sounds interesting, right? But the Dagom Rav Bava there points out, this is kind of based on this idea. The Dagom Rav Bava says, what if the Kli would be Eino Ben Yomo? So it can't make kosher food, Midaraisa. So the Dagom Rav Bava says, if the Kli would be Eino Ben Yomo, then everyone would agree the Seder is not Miyakev. And you could do tefillah before Hechsher. And the Da'akei Tshuva disagrees. And he says, even though, he says, what then is the Shulchan Aruch talking about? And the Shulchan Aruch is only talking about, the Shulchan Aruch was Ma'amid, and the Machlokas Vishon, and the Shulchan Aruch was only talking about Kelim Bnei Yoman. But he says, we have a general rule, the Da'akei Tshuva says, that Stam Kelim Ainim Bnei Yoman. If the Shulchan Aruch was only talking about Kelim, then a Bnei Yoman, it should have spelled it out. And furthermore, he says, since L'chadchilo, you can't use this kli, it's still like Tova V'sheretz B'yodo. Because L'chadchilo, we don't use even Kelim She'enim B'nei Yom.
Whose title is it?
Da'akei Tshuva. So that's the machlok, between the Dagom Rav and the Da'akei Tshuva, if the Seder is Miyakev by a kli She'enim B'nei Yom. There's a similar machlok as quoted by the between the Shach and the Pesachei Tshuva. The Shach quotes a Levush. That what if I only want to use the kli b'tzonin? I have a kli that was used by a non-Jewish person for treif, and now I want to use the kli, but I only want to use a b'tzonin. I don't want to use a b'chamin. So can't aser my food. So then the levush fell, so the seder is not miyakev, because it can make kosher food. The Pesachei Tshuva quoting to Tiferes L'Moshe that since the guy used a pechamin, and if I would want to use a pechamin, it would make the food aser. So that's still like Tova V'Sheretz B'Yodo. Huh? That's the Pesachei Tshuva quoting to Tiferes L'Moshe, I think. The Gemara says that the only type of kelim that are chayiv in Tevilos kelim are clay seuda. The Taz says that this is based on the pasuk. The first Taz in Siman Kuf Chav says it's based on the pasuk. Kol davar sheyavo ba'esh. What type of kelim come? What type of things kelim come ba'esh are clay seuda, metal clay seuda. What's the definition of clay seuda? So it says in Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dawud that it has to touch the food. If it does, this is the first rule. If it does not touch the food, it is never chayv in Tevilas Kelim. A practical example of this would be oven racks. That assuming you don't make toast or pizza on your oven racks, they would not be chayv in Tevilas Kelim. Or a can opener. It does not require Tevilas Kelim because it does not touch the food. Ah, some of the water pops up, but that's not touches the can opener. It's irrelevant.
So that would apply to the walls of the non-rack part of microwave.
Absolutely, no part of the microwave should require to. Nobody puts food like a piece of kugel on the plate of the microwave. I've never seen that done.
And the refrigerator, same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you put food on the shelf of the refrigerator, like
then the shelf would be
a vegetable bin or something, and I put vegetables straight on the shelf, and it's made out of metal or glass, then you might have an issue.
Right, that's what you sell.
Right, but that's generally those now are made of plastic.
There are people who are making their microwave have to, but that wouldn't be bound.
No, it's not necessary.
If you make pizza in the oven and you put it on tinfoil, it still needs to be.
Oh. The Sefer Tefilas Kelim quotes from Shlomo Zalman that let's say I put tinfoil, I have a kli, on Shabbos, let's say, the case of the Shulchan Aruch, I have a kli that didn't have Tefilas Kelim yet. And now I want, what am I supposed to do? I can't be told with the kli on Shabbos and all the guy around who I can do this little trick with. So why can't I just line it with tinfoil and use it like that? So Shlomo Zalman says the following. He says, if it's normally used with tinfoil, like I guess an oven, I would never put pizza straight on the rack. I would only put pizza on tinfoil on the rack, then that's not called klei seuda, because it always has a covering. But if I would normally use it without tinfoil, Like, let's say a crock pot. I guess you could have that. Some people have the crock pot bags. So you always use it with the bag. Nah, it's even worse, though. Because there you give water underneath the bag. But let's say you have a kli, which is normally not used with any covering. And now, because of an issue of tefillas kelim, I want to use tinfoil. Or just haphazardly, I decided I want to use tinfoil. That cannot be mafkia, the obligation to do tefillas kelim. So the first rule is that it has to touch the food. However, the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hei is the second rule. It says that a sakin shel shchita is not chayv in tefillos kelim, or barzelim, or the metal. I think that's talking about if you've ever been to bake matzahs. After they're done rolling the matzah, they put holes in the matzah so it should bake properly. So that item, that the roller that has like spikes in it, that you roll over the matzah and you roll back and it makes holes in the matzah, it's not used for anything else. The Shulchan Aruch says does not require tefillos kelim. Why not? So the Shach explains, because it has to touch food that's roi la'achila. So A, it has to touch food, that's Sif Dalet. Sif Hey, it has to touch food that's roi now la'achila. Not a sakin shel shchita or the barzelim, which is before it's roi la'achila. According to the Shulchan Aruch. And the Ramah says, Yesh Chok, and the Ramah disagrees. And he makes a funny distinction. He says, the Sakin Shel Shchita requires Tevila without a Bracha, and the Barzelim, they don't require Tevila at all. So the Ramah disagrees. It's kind of hard to understand what the Ramah is really saying. Is he disagreeing? If he is disagreeing, why the Barzelim different? So the Shach explains that the Ramah is saying the following. Shulchan Aruch said it has to touch food that's roi la'achila. So the Ramah says, yes, but if this utensil could be used with food that is roi la'achila, then even though right now it's only touching food which is in a roi la'achila, I would require tefillas kelim. B'li bracha. That's the sakin shel shchita. I could use it to cut Swiss cheese. Right now I'm using it for shechting, but I could use it to cut cheese, so then that's, I would require tefillah without a bracha. The barzelim are different, is that you cannot use this roller with the spikes for anything other than food that's not roi la'achila. So I think Rabbi Neuberger pointed out a practical example of this would be chicken scissors. They have poultry scissors that are used to cut, if you've ever made chicken, that are used to cut skin or fat off the chicken. They're very, very sharp, and it works very well. So those type of poultry scissors are only made to touch food which is in a roi la'achila. But you could use those scissors to cut something else, which is roi la'achila.
Cooked chicken.
People use it to cook chicken?
Yeah, roasted chicken. Make a whole chicken. Whole roasted chicken.
Okay, great. You mean if you make a whole chicken and you're cutting it into parts?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So right, so since it could be used, even though I don't use it for that, but even though it could be used for that, so that's what the Ramah would be talking about. That's like the sakin shel shchita. It would require tefillah without a bracha. If you do use it for that regularly, it might be required tefillah with a bracha. But even if you don't, since it could be, it would require tefillah without a bracha. But a meat grinder, which can't be used for roi la'achila food, even according to the Ramah, would not require tefillah. According to the Shach. The Taz understood the Ramah, that no, he wasn't really distinguishing the same way a Sakin Shel Shchita would require tefillah without a bracha, so too the Barzelim. The Ramah feels even, as long as it touches food, even if that food is right now in roi la'achila, would require tefillah without a bracha. So according to the Taz, you'd have to be tovo every kli that touches food, even if it's roi, b'li bracha. One interesting footnote or application of this is in Sif Zayin. The Ramah discusses Rechaim Shel Pilpulin, a pepper shaker or a pepper grinder. This would be the same would be for salt shaker, yeah. I don't know, meat grinder. It's hard to come up with a kli. I mean, you know, like it took me a while. You know, you have to think of cases that can't be used for edible food. I mean, there are a few, but
metal rolling pins.
A metal rolling pin can't be used for Right. I don't know. The other case would be
it's not used for edible, an egg beater.
Right, I don't know, or a coffee grinder brought up in the past. If you grind your own coffee. But there are a few. I don't know. I guess it's a Talmud Hakka. Those are the type of things that can be hard to tovel to begin with. The Rambam though discusses a pepper grinder. This would be like a pepper shaker or a salt shaker. So now this whatever, we'll get back to that point in the Rambam. So the Rambam says that does require tevila. Presumably, even with a bracha, to start off tevila, it doesn't say b'li bracha. So I think the Achronim point out, but this is ain't a roi l'achila. You can't eat plain pepper. So I think that the Achronim point out that since it's roi l'achila in the mixture that I'm going to put it in, I could put salt in soup, which is roi l'achila. So that's called roi l'achila as well. Like a tshuva has a whole long arichas about this, but I think that's basically what comes out. Since it'll be roi l'achila, so then you would make a bracha. It would be tefilas keil. You would require tefilas keil, maybe even with a bracha. Rabbi Akiva Eger before, at the beginning of Siman Kuf Chaf, discusses clay otzer. What if it's only used for storing things? Some Rishonim feel that the only, again, clay suud, that we had two definitions. One, to parse the definition. One, that it touches food, A. B, that it might, according to the Shulchan Aruch, has to touch edible food, and maybe not for the Ramah. It doesn't have to touch edible food right now. But does it have to be involved in the cooking or eating process? Let's say it serves no function at all. All the kelim that we're discussing are kelim that are either process the food or you bring to the table to serve the food or eat the food. What if it serves no functional purpose other than storing the food? Clay otzer. So some Rishonim feel, no, it has to be either a clay bishul or a clay seuda, clay achila. If it's just clay otzer, you're not chayav in tefilas kelim. And others disagree. That even clay oats are required tefillah, and I think the Sefer Tefillas Kelim says a person should do Tefillas Kelim without a bracha.
This would be like storage jars for spices and things like that.
Assuming it has no part at the front where you could shake it out, because then it's like a salt shaker.
I mean, let's say a glass storage shaker, you keep your sugar in it.
Cooking just oil. Keep your sugar in it, right.
So
tefillah without a bracha. Because it neither comes to the table, nor is it clay bishul. It's machlokas whether it requires tefillah at all, and I think that Sefer Tefillas Kelim quotes from Shlomo Zalman should do tefillah without a bracha. Who quotes these two opinions? Some held that in order to be chayav in Tefillas Kelim, it has to serve a function, not just storage. But working along that logic, Ramosha said even that's only if storage itself is a function. He was discussing the bread box. I don't remember if Rabbi Neuberger mentioned this, but Rabbi Moshe Fields is quoted by Rabbi Felder that a bread box does not require tefillah at all. Because he says that's not even serving the function of storing the bread. It's just like a big arrow that says bread here. Marimakom anilach. So that's not a function. So he wouldn't require tefillah. Or he was discussing a toaster oven. Not a toaster oven. The pop toasters. Where you would put it in like a bagel and it would pop out when it's done. So oil could be used for drying bread. So Moshe held that was not a significant usage. It's not functional. It just dries bread. He said it's stale bread all over the place probably. So we're not required to use kelim again because it doesn't serve a function. Even if one will go so far as to say the clay otzer, our chayav to use kelim, at least they serve a function of otzer. If they don't serve any function at all, it might be that even if it touches food, we're not required to use kelim. Yeah.
If clay otzer requires tefillah, isn't that an issue for things like metal cans and glass jars and things like that?
Sure.
So like once the can of tuna fish comes into my house,
we're going to discuss that.
Oh, okay.
We're going to discuss that. Okay. So again, let's just redefine clay seuda. Number one, it has to touch the food. Maybe it has to even touch edible food, Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. And it has to touch the food in a functional way. These are all kelim that are made for that purpose. Let's say I have a kli that's not made to touch food. And I use it for some sort of food purpose. So the Pischei Tshuva and Sifkat and Vav, quotes from the Shev Yaakov, who's discussing, I think that the point of this was, I wasn't so sure about it in the Shia, but I'm just speculating that this is my this is a reconstruction of what the purpose of this kli was. They had a kli that would go on the back of a radiator. So I think from talking to enough grandmothers, it used to be that heat would make the room very, very dry. So in order to make the room, what we now call, use humidifiers for, they had a bucket in the back of the heater, which you would put water in, and that would act as a humidifier, so that the heat wouldn't be as dry. So you could take that kli out and make tea with it. Or you could take that kli out and make whatever you needed the hot water for. So it really wasn't made to touch food, but I could use it for food. So this guy used it for the food, used it to make tea. So the Shev Yaakov says, we go by the Rov Tashmisho. If it was not made, the rule of the Shev Yaakov seems to be that if it was not made to touch food, and I use it for food, if that's a Rov Tashmish, that's how I make my tea all the time, and that's what it's used mainly for, so then it would require Tfilas Kelim. But if that's a Mia Tashmish, I would not require Tfilas Kelim. So another rule of what is called Klei Seuda could be that it was made to touch food. And even if it wasn't made to touch food, then it would have to be the Rov Tashmish of that Kli in order to require Tfilas Kelim. So let's say a person would use a hammer, or Rabbi Neuberger's example was a screwdriver to open a nut, crack nuts, it would not require Tfilas Kelim. Parenthetically, Rabbi Felder is mesupak whether or not touching the nut shell is called touching the food. The first rule of Tfilas Kelim has to touch the food. What if it all does is touch the shell? So here's a suffix about that. So either way, it would only require Tfilas without a bracha.
Then the normal nutcracker wouldn't have.
Right, so he says a nutcracker gets a tefillah without a bracha. But the Sefer Tefillos Kelim points out from the Ramah in Sif Ches. The Ramah there, though, that there's this rule is limited. When do we go bus a rov tashmisho if it's a kli that's not made lachila? What if it's a kli that's made lachila? Poultry scissors, and I decided to use them as construction scissors because they cut very nicely. So do I require Tfilas Kelim in order to cut my construction paper? Absolutely not. The Ramah says you do not. It's not a food purpose. But I haven't done Tfilas Kelim, and then someone wants to borrow my poultry. They say, oh, you have poultry scissors. Can I borrow them to cut my poultry? But I never told them because all I use them for is construction paper. So then the Ramah says, then he would require Tfilas Kelim. Because even though it's Barai, and that's not the Rov Tashmish of that Kli, since it was made for food, you don't need Rav Tashmish. Even a Miyu Tashmish would require Tfilas Kelim.
So an objective Rav Tashmish overrides your own.
So the first rule is it has to be made to touch food. If it was made to touch food, whether or not I use it for food or not, generally, it doesn't make a difference. If it wasn't made to touch food, if it's Rav Tashmish is to touch food, then I would require Tfilas Kelim. So that's why I thought, I had a discussion with Rabbi Neuberger about this last year, I think after the Bechina, and I remember having it in Grandma's, about the Swiss Army knife, whether or not the person would require Tfilas Kelim if he's stuck in the jungle, you know, in the hunting or wherever he is, in camping, and he now needs to use a Swiss Army knife for food, would it require Tfilas Kelim? So we had Rabbi Neuberger wasn't mesupik about the Metzius. Are Swiss Army knives made for food? But I don't think that they are. So if Swiss Army knives are not made for food, and a person just needs to cut open his apple and uses his Swiss Army knife once in a while, then that would not require Tfilas Kelim, because it's only if it's a Rov Tashmish. If he uses it all the time, then he would require Tfilas Kelim.
Can you just say a knife is generally made for food? Like a Shkita knife is also not made for food.
You think a Swiss Army knife is generally made for food?
No, but I'm saying by virtue of the fact that it's a knife, that in itself gives it
food status?
Yeah, like a sake. It's the same thing. That's not made for food, but still
going to
say
that. Like, I have a knife that's made to cut branches off of trees. Also requires Tfilas Kelim if I would use it for food? It just is. I don't know. It's designed differently.
Nobody makes a shkita knife and think, well, somebody else might use this to eat their dinner.
First of all, it's used to touch food. It's used to touch food. That's the main purpose of a shkita knife. Oh, so it's not edible food. So Rama holds you don't need edible food. And even for the Shulchan Aruch holds you do need edible food, holds not chayim Tfilas Kelim. But there, it's shkita knife is different. It's made to touch food.
So that's what gets it off the ground.
Yeah, that's what puts it in the, that's what catapults it into the discussion.
If it wasn't made to touch food, it would.
So then, if it wasn't made to touch food at all, that's different. Yeah.
Does it go based on Rav Olam or you
personally? I would assume Rav Olam. That's the whole point. Otherwise, my poultry scissors, what's the difference between my poultry scissors and construction scissors? If it was made to use with poultry.
Yeah, that's all for one over.
Right.
So
we'll go after Rav Olam.
So why would you?
The first rule is it has to touch food. I don't have to do tefillah for construction paper.
But according to the Shulchan Aruch, you don't tavel a shechita.
Right. It says in the text, yeah. That's the definition of Klei Seuda. There might be a further definition that Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, and this is quoted. This is the Shev Yaakov that we just quoted about the radiators with the bins in the back from the water. That's not the famous part of the Shev Yaakov. The famous part is what's quoted by the Yad Ephraim, that in order to be Chayv in Tefilas Kelim, it has to be a Kli in Hilchos Tumah. The laws of Kelim in Hilchos Tumah, the definition of a Kli in Hilchos Tumah is what also defines a Kli in Hilchos Tefilas Kelim. So this is extremely relevant to the case of the disposable Kelim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Kelim that if you have a Kli that's generally discarded after you're done with it, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So the Shev Yaakov feels that a disposable Kli also would not be Chayv in Tefilas Kelim. What if it's used a few times? So Rav Moshe, I forgot if it's quoted in the Ola Yeshurin or it's in the Chuvas Igros Moshe, feels that he's medayik in the language of the Rambam, that even if it's used two or three times, also called disposable, that we're not required to be Tefilas Kelim. So according to that, if it's disposable. Minchas Yitzchok and the other poskim are not so happy with the Shev Yaakov, but that's the opinion of the agrees to the Shev Yaakov. So Shalta disagrees, not I think on fundamental grounds, that Shalta's opinion is, I think, that even if it's a Kli Sheinu Mekabel Tumah, if it's a real disposable Kli, you might not require Tefilas Kelim. But he thinks tin pans can be used more than one time.
A snapple bottle
is different. That everyone would say can be used more than one time. A snapple bottle could clearly be used more than one time. Some might disagree and hold tin pans cannot be used more than. It's just that's Rav Shalta's assessment of the Metzios, that tin pans can be used more than one time.
You're going to Rav Shalta, you're allowed to drink out of an aluminum can. That for sure can.
No, an aluminum can could also be used more than one time.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, what happens after you drink out of it? Where does it go?
You
throw it out. That's because you deemed it vis-a-vis your financial structure, that's irrelevant. Huh? I mean, aluminum pan, some might say, some have argued, that is unusable after it's been used to make potato kugeln, is unusable for another item. So Rav Shalta thinks that disposable doesn't mean what I have in mind to throw it out. Disposable means that it cannot be used further. Like, you know, they have those good examples, you know, like I don't know if you've ever seen them. They have like these cone cups. They sometimes just give them out at these water fountains.
Mm-hmm.
They're cups which cannot be used again. You just cannot possibly use them again. After you're done, they're just useless. That's disposable. But anything that could be used more than one time would not necessarily be disposable. Yeah.
Huh?
Ramosha points out within the Rambam, who says that disposable kelim not makabel tumah, he's medayik, even though I could use it two or three times, it's still called disposable. The whole working assumption of all the poskim who deal with this disposable shayla is that disposable is what I deem disposable. Rav Shalta disagrees on that point. He says it doesn't make a difference what you deem disposable, it has to be what is objectively disposable. Right, but it means that it's so... Right. You understand what I'm trying to say. However, an Eitza would be... So even if one would be Machlo, so tin pans, you have the Tzad Lahakel, that it's disposable. Rav Shaftel would say that the Eitzah might not necessarily help for the tin pans. But then you would have, I think here, Rabbi Neuberger would agree that one could use the Hefker idea. That a helpful Svara might be that if you keep your pans with Horace Hefker, then perhaps that might help. And you also maybe have Rabbi Bluth Svara. Rabbi Bluth, that Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, who said that if you would ask the manufacturer, is this made for one use or two or three or four uses? So they might say one use, so they only created it for a one-time usage. If I then decide to endow it with two or three or four-time usage status, then that's a Kli Shanas Tzayidei Yisrael. And in my minimal, I've been researching it for a while, how many people do, in fact, reuse tin pans? There are people who do reuse tin pans. So, and if you're one of those people who does reuse tin pans, then I think the shayla is even more chamer by you. If you're going to read, like, I am machmir, even though I don't, we don't discuss, I personally do, but I would not reuse a tin pan if it's not toveled before, because then the shayla is more chamer, I think. Rav Moshe might say two or three times, but not everybody might agree to that.
This relates to this question, I think, although it's a little different. Where does the come from that aluminum you don't have to travel?
Oh, we're going to get to that.
Okay, because
that's not so accepted, but yeah. It helps to throw it onto the pile. But I think the main things that one could go with is that it's disposable. Others, and Ramosha says even two or three times. I don't think anybody uses pans four times. And so even two or three times might be called disposable. Even though Rav Shaftel disagrees, you could have in mind to be mafkirit or maybe have a rebooth svar as well. We'll get to the aluminum in a second. Yeah. I don't know.
No,
I don't think so.
Never make a
oh yeah, that's it. We'll get to that. But I don't think so. I can't. I don't know. I don't think so.
So just take a step back. Why are we connecting to Mintara to Zabayah?
That is the connection of the Shev Yaakov. Minchas Yitzchak says, "Well,
how you
tell me, Yaakov?"
It's
called Kli. Kli Linyan Tuma is the same. Should be the same Kli we call Tara Kula. But
doesn't Moshe also do that for Shabbat?
We find that type of it's a different discussion. Not every, but the other posts say, well, Yitvar Me'olam, the connection doesn't exist. The mitzvah of Tzvi'us Kelim, though, is midoraisa, even though we mentioned that it's probably based on the Pasuk Ach B'Meinida Yishchata, and it's presumably a din midoraisa. The din midoraisa only applies to metal Kelim. As it says in the Pasuk, Achas Azov, as a Kesef, as a Choshes, as a Barzel, not by other materials. So there are six metals listed there in the Pasuk. The Tiferes Yisrael in his Hakadamah to the Mishnayos on Kelim quotes from the Gra that perhaps it's Dafka these six metals. Why did the Torah go out of its way to list these six? It could have just said Mateches or some other word for metal. Elamai, that it's only these six. It's an exclusive list. And the Tiferes Yisrael disagrees. He thinks that it's not an exclusive list. These were the six metals that were known then, but in Anami, another metal would also be Chayav in Tefilas Kelim Midaraisa. Ramosha is quoted, Ramosha has a tshuva, Negros Moshe, about flying in airplanes over cemeteries. Kohanim flying in airplanes over cemeteries. So he discusses whether or not the airplane is Makabel Tuma. So he throws into his whole mix over there that perhaps airplanes are made out of aluminum and aluminum is not Makabel Tuma like the Gros says, because it's only those six metals that are Chayav in Tefilas Kelim, and also perhaps only those six metals that are Makabel Tuma. But aluminum might not be Makabel Tuma.
Basing it on this Gros?
Yeah, of course. So he kind of, it sounds like he subscribes to that. But one of the journals they quote from Avdava Feinstein, when this became a hot issue a few years ago, flying over the cemetery, became a hot issue again. So Avdava Feinstein said that his father told him he never meant to rely on that Lomaisa. In the course of the discussion, he brought it up, but he didn't necessarily subscribe to it. So I don't know how operable this Svara is. And furthermore, even if it is not Makabel Tuma, even if it's excluded from the mitzvah midoraisa of Tefilas Kelim, the Tefilas Kelim book of Tzif Kohn quotes from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Bluth, who both said the same idea, even if it's not Chayav in Tefilas Kelim midoraisa, it would be Chayav in Tefilas Kelim midrabanan, because it's no worse than glass. What does the Gemara say? Gemara says about glass that even though Tefilas Kelim midoraisa is only by metal, glass one would be obligated to do tefillas kelo midrabanan because it has similar properties to metal. In that, if it breaks, you can remold it with heat, just like metal. So glass you would make a bracha on. It has all the halachas of tefillas kelim. It's just only midrabanan as opposed to midaraisa. So
you would or wouldn't?
You would. Glass is the same. It's just chayv midrabanan. But it has all the regular halachas of tefillas kelim. Just so Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Booth point out that aluminum also has that same property. If you could mold aluminum just like metal. Assuming that it goes on glass, presumably aluminum should have been even if it's excluded from the tefillas kelim midaraisa, should be included midrabanan. So I don't think that if one were making it that the aluminum would be a problem in making a bracha on tefillas kelim. I think it's a good svara. It should be the same as glass. Yeah.
Sorry, so maybe that's an assumption. Why are we assuming that it's defined by whether or not it could be has the same properties that makes
that's
it
the Gemara's connection to
so
include
so
glass.
What happened with Tupperware or plastic and things like that?
Oh. So there's a tshuva in the Olal Avram, the Rabbi Neuberger mentioned, that discusses plastic. So he is discussing, I think, a material that's made out of bone. So the Poskim quoted the Iranian plastic, that he says, since this bone-type material has the same property as metal, that it could be molded through heat, and I think Diane Weiss says plastic also can be molded through heat, so since it has that same property, it should also be included in the Gzeirah Midrabanan of glass, and you would require tefillas kelim on plastic.
That would include Tupperware.
Yeah. So I think in Breuer's, they have on their tefillas kelim sign over there, Rabbi Breuer was machmir on this shaila, that you should do tefillas kelim on plastic.
Another side to say that you
should
do on plastic as well.
So Ravadia disagrees. Most posts disagree. The Mu'am al-Hoel has a tshuva about it. Chazanish, Ramosha. Most of the mainstream posts disagree that plastic does not require tefillas kelim because plastic wasn't around. We don't make new gzeros. The gzera in the Gemara was on glass. Not plastic didn't exist. So to say that it should include plastic is a stretch.
And it would go for aluminum too?
Maybe for aluminum too, but aluminum
also.
Is... Huh?
Pyrex also. But any new combination, we have all the new metals that we have that are combinations of 8-7 different metals, or some new chemical fixes.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so, because then what then a little change is also weren't including the zero. Let's say it's green metal, not red metal. No, so I think if it's in the same category of item, it would be included. Just... this is a totally different category. They understand plastic is a totally different category, and that was not included in the Xera. But this cuts both ways. The pre-Toar discusses China kelim. I think he's discussed, I'm sorry, porcelain. And porcelain has a similar property to glass in that it's very, very smooth. So the Pre-Torah was discussing this porcelain, since it has a similar appearance to glass, does that require tefillas kelim? So the Pre-Torah says the same svara, just the opposite way. If porcelain would break, you cannot fix it through heat. So since that's the identifying factor of glass with regards to tefillas kelim, so porcelain does not fit into the category of glass, even though it's smooth and it looks like it. Since it doesn't act like it regarding heat, would not be chayav in tefillas kelim. Similarly, Rabbi Felder quotes from Ramosha that Karel, we discussed Karel when we were discussing Hechsher kelim, and Rabbi Neuberger pointed out through his research that Karel is the same material as glass, just it's cooled differently, so it doesn't break as easily. But it is also different than glass, said Ramosha, in terms of the fact that it cannot be reconstructed through heat. So Ramosha says, since it doesn't act like glass with regards to fixing it, it doesn't have that property that the Gemara and Avodah Zarah hones in on, so we're not be chayav in tefillas kelim. I've heard that Rabbi Wu passes like that, the Karel does not require tefillas kelim.
Is that a machlokes?
Yeah, Rabbi Neuberger disagreed, and I think Rabbi Tendler, when he used to teach tefillas kelim, also disagreed that, I think Rabbi Neuberger pointed out, it is glass, hainu glass, it's no different than glass.
Porcelain and Karel are the same?
Porcelain is China. It's just very, very smooth, so it looks like glass.
It doesn't even have the same?
No, it's China. No, it's China.
They said they could
rub. I don't know. Oh no, I think he said without a bracha because of Ramosha's taina that it doesn't act like gilas when you fix it, so it's required to heal without a bracha.
Glass, you do make a bracha.
Glass is chayiv midrabanan. What if a kli is made from a combination of different types of materials, some metal, some plastic, some this, some that? So the poskim generally assume that we go based on rov. If it's 99% metal with something else, a little bit of wood mixed in, so we would assume that you would require tefillas kelim. What if it's made from two parts? Not that it's a combination within one item, meaning it's not an alloy. It's two parts, a pepper grinder. It's mainly wood, and there's a metal grinder in the middle. So the Ramah says, since that is an indispensable part of the kli, that's exactly what the kli is used for, and it touches the food, then the whole kli would require tefillas kelim. That's the Ramah's case of the pepper grinder. But then he says, that's only if that's the ikar kli, if I have a wood kli with a metal plate on it that says the name of the company. Then you don't require tefillas kelim because it doesn't have to touch the food. But any time that that's a principal part of the kli, it would require tefillas kelim.
So that's wood
kelim need to at all? Wood, metal, and glass require tefillah.
So wood kelim wouldn't?
No.
Right. Because
again,
it doesn't have the same properties as metal or glass.
Right.
So
right.
So how do you learn the Ramah that you need two things has to touch food and it has to
be
at the food?
Ramah says, The Ramah says, V'davka she'ikar kli hu shel mateches, meaning the focus of the kli, the main part.
Does that mean it wouldn't work without it necessarily? Or?
I don't know if he means it wouldn't work. I was thinking about it. I don't know if he means it wouldn't work without it or that, because unless I have a bowl, the bowl is going to work either way. But
no, I wasn't sure.
But I think if it's a principal part of the kli, then. But I think if he means, let's say I have a wood kli with a metal rim. So yeah, it probably touches the food, but I don't think it's a principal part of the kli. And I don't think it requires
tefillas kelim. The kli would break without it, but you don't use it for the grind. Like, let's say you had a pepper shaker, and like the outside of it was metal, and the inside was plastic, or a pepper grinder. So really, you're grinding with the plastic.
Yes, I think, yeah, but you need the outside part too, to hold the pepper.
Let's say you didn't, but it was essential to, like, you couldn't have the kli without it. It was like all the screws were.
Well, the first rule is if it doesn't touch the food, then you have nothing to discuss.
Uh-huh.
So if it's not on the inside and it doesn't touch the food, then if the metal part doesn't touch the food, huh?
Even if it maintains
the food. We're going to talk about that right now. The Gemara in Shabbos has a discussion about a Dover HaMaimid. I have a wood kli with, they used to have wood casks with metal bars that go on the outside to hold the, you know, in order to keep whiskey or whatever, wine, they would have wooden casks that holds the liquid better. But they would have metal bars to keep the wooden slats in place. So is that type of kli makabel tumah? You couldn't have the kli without the metal part, so it's maimid the kli, but it doesn't actually touch the food. So the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Samach has a discussion about this regarding tumah, and I think the conclusion is that it is makabel tumah. And the Rishonim have a discussion, does that apply to Hilchos Tefillas Kelim as well? Some Rishonim hold that even if the metal part doesn't touch the food, but it's maimid the kli, you would require tefillas kelim. Another Rishonim hold you don't go baser dover or maimid when it comes to tefillas kelim.
You don't think the Ramah is connected to maimid?
The Ramah is independent. That's not the Ramah. The Ramah says though, because he says right after that, Abam ikar kli hu shel eitz, just as a little bit of barzel. Ho ve'efshel ishtamish v'below a barzel ain't tzarich tefila. That's that. But then he says, Abam kli hamasukim b'yaseido shel barzel. That's this. Meaning it has metal poles that keep it in place. V'below a yaseido shel efshel ishtamish bo. Then it would require tefila. I'm sorry, one second. Right, then it would require tefila. That's the Ramah. I think the Shach also in Sivka and Yud Beis spells this out. Where is that?
Because the Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Vav says a kli eitz sheyesh ol chashukim shel barzel mi bachutz ein otal tefila. If you have this type of wood cast that only has metal poles on the outside, does not require tefila. That's the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shach disagrees, and he says he doesn't know why. It's machlokas rishon, and we should be machmir to do tefila without a bracha. So that's generally the accepted psak, like the Shach said. I think the Rambam applies like that too. Maybe we'll read it more carefully. Maybe we'll read it more carefully.
Without a bracha.
Yeah, without a bracha.
The
Shev Yaakov. Yeah, but the problem is the machlokas rishon. Maybe that you could say the Shev Yaakov then is dependent on this machlokas rishonim, which is people do say that. So therefore, we would generally be machmir to be tovel something that has a maimed of metal, even though it doesn't necessarily touch the food. You'd be tovel without a bracha. So let's say a baby spoon is common shiloh. They have plastic coating on it, so it shouldn't burn the child's mouth, or it turns color if it's hot or something like that. So, but the eker spoon is metal. Just the part that touches the food is plastic. So we would generally require it to be less kelim without a bracha. Shlomo Zalman applied this also to frying pans. If I have a Teflon coated frying pan, and we know from Hechsher Kelim that Teflon is plastic, so do I say, well, plastic isn't chayv in tefilas kelim according to most poskim, but the metal, but the maimed of the whole kli is metal. It's the frying pan. So Shlomo Zalman held it requires tefilas kelim without a bracha. Or a kli that's coated with enamel, and we don't know what enamel is, but it's whatever it is. We would probably assume we couldn't make tefillah with a bracha, so Shlomo Zalman held any kli that's coated with enamel, even though there's a davar ha-maimed which is metal, would require, again, tefillah without a bracha. Rabbi Felder, though, quotes from Rav Moshe, this is the svara by China, which we'll get to in a second, that the Teflon coating on the frying pan is garnished. That's not a coating. Same bo mamish, he said. It has to be a significant coating. And he felt that was an insignificant coating. So we would require tefillah with a bracha. I don't know. Machlok is modern day postgame. About a frying pan that has a Teflon coating. That's, again, if it's a metal kli, or a kli that's chayv in tefillah, that's coated with something. The part that touches the food is something that's not chayv in tefillah. That's the shayla of a davar ha-maimed. What about the reverse? I have a kli that's in principle something that's not chayv in tefillah, kli cheres. But it's coated with metal or glass. So the Shulchan Aruch says they do require tefillah. That's the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Aleph. And then the Rama adds, huh?
The opposite
does
not need tefillah.
What's the opposite?
When the kli is metal and
it's coated with plastic. So that's the shot of the davar ha-maimed. That's my focus. We've shown him, and we're machmir to be tovel without a bracha. Now we're talking about the other way, though.
Then you need tefillah with a bracha.
The Shulchan Aruch says if it's coated with metal, you would require tefillah with a bracha. The Rama adds, though, that's only if it's mitsupa from both sides. If you read the Rama for a while, this is what he's saying. I think maybe the Shach pointed out. That's only if it's mitsupa from both sides. Let's say it's only mitsupa bifnim. It's a cheres kli, which is coated with metal only on the inside. Then it's without a bracha. The Shach even adds, and this is a shtickle pella, the Shach adds, let's say it's cheres, and it's only mitsupa mibachutz. The outside is coated with metal. So the Shach says, yeah, that's also without a bracha. Tefillah without a bracha. And the Aruch HaShulchan says, it doesn't make any sense. The first rule is it has to touch the food. Here the metal doesn't touch the food. So the Aruch HaShulchan says you don't have to be tovel at all.
This wouldn't be maimed?
Oh, if the metal is maimed, the clay, fine. But if it's...
It could have been...
If it's a sturdy kli without it, yeah. So the classical discussion is if it's coated with metal. What if it's coated with glass? glass itself is only midrabbanan. So do we extend it to even a coating? So the Shach says in Sivkot and Beis, yes. Coated with glass would also require tefillas kelim. It's coated on both sides with a bracha, only on the inside without a bracha. One could have disagreed. This is parenthetical. One could have disagreed because we said before the whole reason for glass is because it's similar to metal and its property that it could be healed through heat. Some people disagree and they say here the glass doesn't function like glass because it's glued to china. Nonetheless, that's what the Shach says. So Rekiva Eger says that if you have a gloisiert china that's coated with glass, it would require tevila without a bracha. I think he was assuming it was only covered on the top. If it would be covered on both sides, it requires tevila with a bracha. I think so.
He's not assuming this way.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Where does he quote this? I don't know. Oh, no. He says, no, either way, glass would not require a bracha. Maybe that's what he means, yeah. Sounds like even if it's on both sides, no bracha. So maybe because it doesn't act like glass. Good point. Ramosha, though, disagrees, and he holds that china that's covered, what we have today, china that's talking about if there's a thick glaze, you know, with glass. I tried to do research last year until, so what are they talking about? But Ramosha says that china that's covered with some sort of smooth coating is not Zainbo Mamish. That's insignificant. What are the poskim talking about that gloisiert requires tevila? It's talking about if it's a thick, heavy-duty coating. So I was just trying to do research. Did they ever use a thick, heavy-duty coating? Is that correspond to Matthias? But anyway, you can do your own research. It's a little complicated. So Rav Moshe holds our china, the glass, whatever we think is glass, is not really glass. Either way, it's so minimal, it's Ainbo Mamish, so it's like Kli Cheres. And Kli Cheres would not require tefillah. But even the Maisa, there's some postgame who do require tefillah on china, and I think, at least here, most of the postgame don't require tefillah on china. Since the pasuk says "Ach v'mei nida yischata," so the Gemara points out that it has to be "Maim she'nida tovelos bem." Huh?
Benishchat requires china without bracha.
What one?
Benishchat.
Yeah.
For China.
For China without bracha. All right. The Gemara says, based on the pasuk "Ach v'mei nida yischata," that it requires "Maim she'nida tovelos bem," so it has to be mem soft, just like a tefilas nida would require. Also similar to a tevilas nida, the Pisrei Tshuva and Sivkot and Gimel, quotes in the Chachmas Adam, you need tevila bebas achas. A woman cannot tover her hand, then tover her foot, then tover her head. She has to get into the mikvah bebas achas. So to the kli, you can't tover one half of the kli, then the other half of the kli. The whole kli has to fit into the mikvah at one time. As opposed to hagala, which we discussed, one could perhaps be masha half the kli than the other half of the kli. Tevila is different than hagala with regards to this halacha of bas achas. And as part of the pasuk, ach b'mei nida yischata. Because of this as well, the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Sif Yud Beis, the halacha, that you have to be matvil the yad too, the yad of the kelim, the handle. Because that's also part of the kli. It's like a woman has to be tovel all of her body, so you have to be tovel the entire kli. And the Rishonim point out, I think they quote from Marami Rutenberg, that even if the kli is the handle made from wood, it's not chayvin tefilas kelim. But that's part of the body of the kli, so it would require tefilas kelim as well. Another halacha that's learned out of that it has to be mayim shenida tovelas bem is that you can't have a chatzitza, just like a nida tefilas nida. And the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Yud Gimel discusses what if he can't get rid of the chatzitza. So he employs the same language that we have in Hilchos Nida, which is if it's a miut, she'eino makbid, it's a miut of the kli, of the surface area of the kli, and it's anal makbid. You're not makbid on that. Yeah, you know, sometimes you scrape off something, you scraped it off with the gugan and everything, and you can, it just does not come off, and you would leave it like that. You're not so makbid about it, so it's a miyut, anal makbid. You could tovel the kli and continue to and start to use it. However, we have in Hilchos Nida, and the Rama quotes in Hilchos Nida, a chumra, that we shouldn't even rely on a miyut sheino makbid. Nashim didan, try and get rid of all chatzitzos. And I think the Achronim quote that, the chachilo batvilos kelim also, we should try and be machmer for that. Get rid of all chatzitzos. Even if it's a miyut sheino makbid, you shouldn't rely on that, chachilo. But again, that's only if it's a miyut sheino, right, if it's a miyut sheino makbid, then it's not a problem. What if I, but most tags, most labels people do, would normally get rid of them. What if I dafka want it there? Why would I dafka want the tag there? Well, let's say it's expensive crystal. And I want everyone to know that this is, you know, the real deal. This isn't glass. So I want to leave the sticker there. So if it's Shem Chashivas, the poskim say that that would be a miyut sheino makbid, you could rely on it over there.
Wow.
And leave the tag on the kli. Because you're not makbid. Or if a person is being tovel kli for someone else, and I want them to know that this was, and it's not something I could, you know, got out of my garage. This is, I bought this for you, and it has a price tag still on it. If I'm tovel the kli, I have to take off the price tag. So the person say that's okay too. I think the Sefer Tefilos Kelim points these things out. That there, I want the tag there. So that would be a miyut v'eino makbid.
You
can leave it there. Yeah. Because of this halacha of chatzitza, so how to, the process of being tovo kalim becomes somewhat complex. Why? Yeah.
Let's go back to the person is not makbid.
Right.
He has the fine. Let's say it's another guy, another Jew wants to use it. He's makbid. There's other Jews that need
to have. No, once there's tefilas kalim done, it's tefilas kalim done. The Mishnah says in Mikvos that if a person is being holding on to a kli, this is talking about for tumah purposes, but it would be the same here. That if a person is holding on to a kli that he wants to be metaher, or I'm holding on to a kli that I want to do tevilas kelim, so it's machlok between the Chachamim and Reb Shimon. The Chachamim's opinion is that I have to be meidiach. A person has to get their hand wet first, before he grabs onto the kli. Otherwise, when I'm holding onto the kli, so I'm holding onto it very tightly, no water gets in to where the part of the kli that I'm holding in my hand, because I'm holding it so tightly. So how do I get around that problem? I wet my hand first, then, since I have water there already, that water attaches to the water of the mikvah, and that part of the kli is considered as having touched the water of the mikvah. This is based on another Mishnah mikvah. So the Mishnah says, if I want to be tovel a table, that's bigger than the mikvah, and they're talking about a mikvah that was in dirt. So I can put the table into the mikvah, even though the legs sink into the dirt. Why? But then when it comes out, when the top of the table is in the mikvah, the bottom legs are in the dirt. So the Mishnah says, Hamayim makdimin, since there was water there already, there's like a minimal layer of water that surrounds the legs of the table, even though as they're being shoved into the dirt, and that's connected with the water of the mikvah, and it could be entire of the table. So to over here, the Chachamim say, if you get your hand wet first, that's okay, but otherwise you would have a problem. And Reb Shimon disagrees in the Mishnah. Reb Shimon says that in Mar Piyado, that's okay. You don't have to, if your hand is loose, then that's okay. So there's a Machlokes Rishonim, what was Reb Shimon saying? Was he arguing Lakua? Meaning if my hand is loose, I don't need to put it in the water first? Or is he arguing the Chumrah? Even if I put my hand in the water, I need to hold it loosely. Either way, we pass on like the Chachamim. So what's the difference? The difference is, how do we understand the Chachamim? For the Chachamim, would it be enough? If Reb Shimon is arguing the Chumrah, then the Chachamim... Anyway, whatever. The Machlokes Rishonim is, for the Chachamim, would it be enough if my hand is loose? If Reb Shimon is arguing L'chumra that he says, even if you put your hand in water, it also has to be loose. So then the Chacham could hold, yeah, it's only a problem. The only time I have to put my hand in water is if my hand is tight. What if my hand would be loose? then maybe we'll be okay. So that's a machlokas we've shown him, but that's the chachamim. What if my hand is loose? Do I still need to put it in water? So Shulchan Aruch is meikel. Okay, I forget where. Sif Gimel, Sif Beis. Sif Beis. That you have either option. If my hand is loose, I don't need to be mediach yado first. And if you want to hold the kli tightly, then you have to get your hand wet with water first. And the Shach disagrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Why was he meikel on this shayot? It's a machlokas harishonim. Some Rishonim hold holding it loosely never works for the Chachamim. You always need to get your hand wet first. And the Pesachei Tshuva says he doesn't think you have to be Machmir. It's Machlok between the Shach and the Pesachei Tshuva whether or not we could accept this halacha as it says in Shulchan Aruch. But if I'm holding, even if I'm holding it tightly, if I get my hand wet first, that would be okay. So the Ramah adds the V'davka Shalichach Yadav B'mei Mikvah. It's only if it's the water from the mikvah. So Gra asks, why does it have to be mei mikvah? Once I put my hand in the water of the mikvah and then I take my hand out, it's no longer mei mikvah. Let's say I dip my hand in water, come out, then I pick up the pot. So Gra says, once I took it out, it's always mei mikvah. It's no longer mei mikvah. It's regular water. So what have I gained by dipping it into the mikvah? So the Gra disagrees with this Ramah. You don't need mei mikvah. I could put it under the faucet. Ramosha also, I think, is quoted by the Holy Shur, and that you don't need mei mikvah. But the Mata Yehoinasan on the side of the Shulchan Aruch explains what the Ramah meant to say. And this Mata Yehoinasan, I think, is accepted. People agree with the Mata Yehoinasan that. But there are moments to say that no, I'm not putting my hand in the water of the mikvah and pulling it out. What it means is I'm holding the pot over here, I put one hand underneath the mikvah, and then I put the pot into my hand that's submerged already in the main mikvah. What then have I gained? Because even now, if I hold the kli tightly, I have the svar of that Mishnah that we mentioned, that it's hamayim asdimin. That's like the table that went through the water into the dirt. So here it went through the water and into my hand. It's hamayim asdimin. And that's what the Rama means, that it has to be wet with mei mikvah. Now that I put in the mikvah and took it out, my hand has remained submerged. Yeah?
So, Kodra, since we're making all the comparisons to Chasam Rechom and Nida, that when it comes to Nida, it has to be roy, or be it my, or be it tightly, or the legs are jammed to the ground. Even the water, they're not going there, but it needs to at least have the ability to go there for it to work.
Agreed. So
you're holding it very tight, or let's say in the table case, you're jamming your legs into the ground.
Yeah. That's also, we do it all the time. Let's say you go to the mikvah, a woman goes to the mikvah. Does she have to pick up her feet or not? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, she does not have to pick up. Some people make a mistake about it. You don't have to pick up your feet. Why? Because when you put your feet into the mikvah, hamayim akdimin, the water was underneath your feet. This halacha applies to universal.
If you let go completely, then it's fine.
Yeah, if you let go completely. But then, the problem with letting go completely is if you look at the bottom of a tefillah's kelmek, you'll see all the casualties. Now they have fishing nets to try and prevent that. But you know, there's always the old story of the guy who put on his bathing suit to jump into the field's camel because he had back his silver spoon.
Is it better?
Then you don't have to do the Mati Yohanathan. Yeah, if you want to let go, let go. No, but it's not better than Mati Yohanathan. Sometimes you have a kli, though, that's too heavy. Like you have a kli that's it's just a very heavy kli. I can't lift it with one hand to put it into the other hand. So then you have to come up with other chaps. Yeah.
If you assume that by George Foreman or something like that, the plug is a chalik of the plate.
Yeah.
So theoretically, could you wet your hand and then dump the rest of this George Foreman and the mix that out accomplished the scale? So you would have to be worried about putting the plug inside.
You mean wet my hand, take it out, and wrap it around the plug?
Yeah.
So you'd have to go without the Mati Yohanes, and you'd only have the Gra. Which is maybe if you have no other option, maybe that's okay. It's a judgment call. I don't know.
I asked Remover about the plug, and he said he didn't put it on the plug.
He said
it's not going to a hand.
He said, oh, it's not that he was assuming that it didn't. Why did I don't?
Everyone I asked for time.
I don't know. I thought it should be part of the kli, I don't know. I didn't get a chance to talk to Remover about it. A common Eitzah that people have to be tovel kleim. Let's say you're toveling a whole set of silverware. So they have now in the tefillas kleim mikvahs these baskets. So you dip it into the basket, and you dip that into the mikvah. So you don't have to dip each one at a time. So it says in Siman Reish Beis, that's in Hilchos Mikvah, so you have to make sure that the kelim, let's say I arranged my basket before, and I have a ton of silver, caterers, tolling everything. So if it's all very tightly inside the basket, again, you'd have a problem that if it's hiduk and there's no water there originally, that might be an issue.
So
it
comes out that no one thinks, like, that the Rambam means kipshut, like, you need
to have
the water?
Yeah, like the Matei Honasan.
No, but then you need your hand in. No,
that's what he thinks
that
the Rambam means.
But so no one thinks that you could dunk your hands in the mikvah and then you have to dunk it though.
Nobody thinks there's any maiwa to dunking your hands in the mikvah and pulling it out.
Because the Broder's mikvah sign says what your hands in the mikvah were first.
That's what they mean, like the Mount Yehonath, apparently. I don't know. So you write on and mend the sign, like, why you? Why you? Why you? Shulchan Aruch distinguishes that if a person is, there's a bracha on Tefillas Kelim. Quoted here somewhere. Siv Gimel, Yivarach al Tefillas Kli, Vimheim Shnaim al Yosem Yivarach al Tefillas Kelim. Shulchan Aruch says a distinction between plural Kelim versus singular Kli. Aruch HaShulchan says, though, that nobody has this minig. We just say al Tefillas Kelim. Kozel Mitzapela, why here do we distinguish? Let's say a person's putting up many mezuzos. So you still make the bracha, the kvoa mezuzah. Even though it's singular. Or, where else does it come from? Or, lahadlik ner shel Shabbos. Again, singular. We don't say if you're lighting many, you light nero shel Shabbos. So, why here should we depart from that general rule that we stick with the singular? Or we don't adjust for the circumstances? So, here we stick with the plural. I don't know why, that's interesting. But we say al tefilas kelim. Al tefilas kli? And if it's more than one, al tefilas kelim?
No.
Always al tefilas kli?
I don't think so.
Interesting. Right, so maybe that makes more sense. The shach is that if it's mateches, you say al klei mateches. But we don't have this. I think the prechadosh right in the side points out we don't have this meaning. In the Shulchan Aruch Sif Ches, it says that this is based on the Gemara, that the only time you're chayv in Tefillas Kelim is if I buy the Kli from a non-Jewish person. What if I borrow it from him, or I rent it from him? Then you do not require Tefillas Kelim. But, let's say a non-Jewish person, a Jewish person bought the Kli, and he hasn't done Tefillas Kelim. And now I, another Jewish person, borrow it from him, I would require Tefillas Kelim. He bought it, he hasn't done Tefillas Kelim yet. And then I borrow it, I would require Tefillah. Why? Because Kvar Nischayev B'Yad HaRishon. Since this Jew is Chayev to Tefillas Kelim, even though I borrow it, I'm just borrowing, I would still require Tefillah. There is a Yei Shomrim here in the Shulchan Aruch, that if the first guy bought, let's say he bought poultry scissors from the non-Jewish person to use for construction paper, and then I borrow them to use for poultry, so even though by him, if he would be using it for poultry and he just hadn't been tovel yet, and then I borrow it and I use it for poultry, I would be chayv. That's the finest chayv harishon. But let's say he wasn't planning on using it for poultry. Now I want to use it for poultry, so I would be chayv in tevila. So the Yeshomim holds, I'm not chayv in tevila because my whole obligation, the second guy, comes from the fact that Nischai Biyad HaRishon. But Biyad HaRishon, it wasn't used for Klei Seuda. It was used for construction paper. So since I don't have the Shekvar Nischai Biyad HaRishon, the borrower, even though I'm using it for Ochel, would not be Chayv in Tefillas Kelim. That's a Yesh Omrim in the Shulchan Aruch. Yesh Misha Omer in the Shulchan Aruch. The Taz and the Shach and don't like this Yesh Misha Omer. They quote that the Issa V'Heter disagrees. That even if the first person was not using it for Ochel, since if he would have wanted to use it for Ochel, he would have been Chayiv. If I borrowed to use it for Ochel, I'm also Chayiv. Shekvar Nischayev B'Yad HaRishon for this. If he would want to use it for Ochel, it would be Chayiv. So the Shach and the Taz reject this opinion in Shulchan Aruch. But I think it would be still do tefillah without a bracha because of the Yesh Misha Omer, but they would require tefillah. But working off that side of the Yesh Misha Omer, the Taz quotes him a Beis Yosef who goes even a step further. Again, you have to keep the chronology here. It says in Shulchan Aruch, if this guy, he buys it for cut, I don't know, construction paper, and then I borrow it to use for food, I'm not chayv in tefillah because the first guy wasn't chayv. And the Shach and the Taz disagree about that. But even working with within the Yesh Misha Omer, the Taz quotes another Saad Lahakel. Quotes from the Beis Yosef that if this guy bought it to sell as Klei Suda, but he himself is not using it as Klei Suda, if I borrow it from him, I'm also not Chayiv. Because by him, it wasn't Klei Suda, it was Klei Schara. Which is really a jump from the original Kula. So based on that, based on Yosef, the Pisri Tshuva quotes from the Bina Sa'adam that in Europe, when the Kalim were very more scarce, so say a person is making a big wedding, he wasn't going to invest in all the Kalim that he needed. He would borrow it from the person who sold Kalim, rented or whatever. So by the guy who originally owns it, it's not Chayv in Tevila because he just sells. Now I'm going to take it from him. So the Beis Yosef said, I'm not Chayv in Tevila either. So he would rely on this. When they were making a big Suda. The Bina Sa'adam kind of implies it was some sort of Shas al-Chak. We couldn't be tov of them. Either because it was glass and they would break, whatever. So that we already one removed. Shulchan Aruch says, if I buy it for construction paper and I lend it to someone else, he's not chayv. Beis Yosef goes a step further, even if I own it for Schora, and this guy borrows it for a Suda, still not chayv. Then the Darkei Tshuva quotes from the Shevet Sofer, who goes even a step further. Even if I own the Kalim, not for Schora, I'm a caterer, or I own a restaurant. Personally, I don't eat off the Kalim. But I sell the right to eat off the Kalim. That should also be called Klei Schora. And if you come into my restaurant, and you're using it as Klei Suda, that's like you're borrowing it from me, and by me it's only Klei Schora, and you're not chayv in Tefilas Kalim. You would not be chayv in Tefilas Kalim. There are rumors that certain caterers or restaurants rely on this type of kula. I don't know personally of any, but I don't know what the. I assume the accepted psak and Ashkachas is not to rely on the Shevet Sofer, but I don't know. Most poskim reject this. Chazanish, Ramosha reject this Shevet Sofer.
What do we do?
What are you talking about? I'm using it. I'm the caterer. I'm using it as Klei Suda. I'm selling you the right to eat off of them, even though I'm just making money off them, and I personally don't eat off of them. That's not that you don't have the heter of the Beis Yosef of a person who's selling kalim in his store, and even the heter of the Beis Yosef is all predicated upon the Yesh Misha Omer in the Shulchan Aruch, which was that if I use it for construction paper and lend it to you for chicken, then you're not chayv in tefilas kalim. But the Shach and the Taz rejected that. They don't hold like that Yesh Misha Omer. Most posts can reject this Shevet Sofer entirely.
So today, yeah. In the restaurant, we would.
If you own a restaurant, we would. I think we would require you to do tefilas kalim on the king.
All the restaurant.
Yeah.
And under Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, and they say it's okay.
You don't need tefilas kalim.
No.
That's the Shevet Sofer.
VHQ, I know they do the requirement, but it's fine.
In the tefilas kalim book, though, he goes this chumrah this. He uses this kula as a chumrah. Beis Yosef said, if I own it, if I own a store that sells kalim and you borrow it from me, then you don't have to do tefillas kalim. So fine, the Shach and the Taz don't accept that. But what about if I own a store and I want to do tefillas kalim on my kalim? So that when you buy them, I can say, my kalim all total. I can sell it for a higher price or whatever. So the Sefer Tefillas Kalim quotes, I think, from the Minchas Yitzchak, that I can't do Tevilas Kalim, because even though we don't accept the Beis Yosef necessarily Lekula, we should accept the Lechumra. And by me, the store owner, is not Klei Suda, so even though by you it will be, I can't do Tevilas Kalim because it's not Chayiv yet. So I think Rabbi Neuberger was choshish for that, that if a person is giving a present or you own a store, you can't be tov of the Kli until it's come to the yad of the person who's going to use it as Klei Suda. But I think I've heard from a shefter a few times that he's not kosher for this chumrah because he thinks we reject this Yesh Misha Omer, the Shulchan Aruch, and we reject the Beis Yosef, which is predicated upon the Yesh Misha Omer, that since If this person would have wanted to use it as clay suda, they would have to been toivel it. So that's called nischayv biyad arishon. And if I borrowed from him, I'm chayv in tefilas kelim, just like he would have been if he would have used it as clay suda.
Just because we reject the Yesh Mishayver, we could reject the other part of the Yesh Mishayver. If I borrow it,
Yeah. I think it's a fair chumrah. But Shafi wasn't chashish for that. If I own a kli b'shutfis with a non-Jewish person, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that we do not require tefilas kelim. It's the Ramah in Sif Yud Aleph. Why not? So the Shach calls him this of a heter. Because the whole point of tefilas kelim is to be Megayer the kli. How can I be Megayer the kli if it's half owned by a non-Jewish person? It will never have a full gerus. Half of it is non-Jewish. So it's not pshat that it's pater from tefilas kelim. The pshat is it cannot have a tefilas kelim. So therefore, the malam of the hoa was discussing. He was asked about people who had kelim that they couldn't be tovel, Jewish people. So in order to get out of tefilas kelim, they wanted to take a non-Jewish shutuf into the business, and then they wouldn't be chayv in tefilas kelim. So Malam Al Hol says you're not allowed to, because the whole shot here is not that you're putter from Tefilas Kelim, you just can't accomplish Tefilas Kelim because it's half not Jewish. So to take a non-Jewish partner for that purpose is like bypassing the mitzvah. You're not putter, just you can't be yotzei the mitzvah. Oh, so the base mayor asks, 1 minute, if this is all true, it should be you can't eat from these kelim. A kli that's on b'shutas with a Jew and a non-Jew. If the pshat is not that it's potter into this kelim, you just can't accomplish this kelim. How am I allowed to eat off the kli? So this is where Shlomo Zalman said. This is his hechreach to his pshat, which we'll develop in a few minutes. Which is that the only time there's an iser shtamshush with a kli is when there's a possibility of doing tefilas kelim. The iser shtamshush is a function of the mitzvah lahatbil. If there's no possibility of doing tefillah, then there's no iser. So he said, how do I know? Because this case, if it's b'shutfis, it's not pshat that you're potter. Pshat is that you can't do tefillah. Ah, so why isn't it aser to eat off of them? The answer is, because since there's no possibility of doing the mitzvah, there's no iser.
Isn't it really a case of honest? Why are you just going
to be honest? I don't know. The Shach, though, says in Sifkan Chavav, if I buy a kli, if I buy a kli from a shutufis, or let's say the Jewish shutuf buys out the non-Jew, now it would be chayvin to be with kelim. Or if I buy it from you, for let's say the shutufis and the Jews and non-Jews, and I buy it from them, I would be chayvin to be with kelim. Because now I could have a gear of the kli. That's not called buying from a Jew. Because even the Jew and the non-Jew should have been chayvin to be with.
What about if you don't know if he did tefillah or not? Should he do it?
Oh, that's a different child. And even if there was a, let's say there was a shutfis, but rov of the shutfim were Jews, and meat of the shutfim were non-Jews, so I think you still require tefilas kelim. I think the Sefer Tefilas Kelim book points that out. So therefore comes a shaila, what if you have a kli that's made from a company, which has millions of investors, some Jews, some non-Jews, and now I buy from the company. So even if 90% of the investors are Jewish, I still require tefilas kelim. So Moshe is quoted as saying that's only if they have a controlling interest in the company. If the non-Jew has a controlling interest in the company, meaning he can make decisions, not just he gets a vote at the stockholders' meeting, he has a controlling interest in the ongoings of the company, then he's a significant partner. If he's not, if he doesn't have an controlling interest, he's an insignificant partner, and we worry about the significant partners. This is a shaylon called Harakua, how to view companies. Our companies, some poskim, this comes up in Hilchos Ribbis, in Hilchos Chametz BePesach. Let's say I own stock in a company that sells chametz on Pesach. Do I have to sell my stock on Pesach? Or let's say I own stock in a company that sells machalos asuros. You're not allowed to do business with machalos asuros. So am I allowed to own stock in such a company? So it's a shaylon called Harakua, how do we view companies? Some poskim can view companies as a shutfis, as an elaborate shutfis, and some post can view companies as an inyan bifnei atzmo. Company, once you're incorporated, and it's not you know, it's not just two people that are incorporated, it's stockholders and everything, then it takes on a life of its own, and it's not a shutfis. Category three, not Jewish, not non-Jewish, not half-Jewish, not half-non-Jewish, it's its own thing. So if it's its own thing, am I chayv in tefilas kelim? I'm not chayv in tefilas kelim. Let's say I view it in kol torah kulo like it's its own entity. So to say if it's tefilas kelim, quotes from Rosh Hashanah Zalman, that yes, buying from a non-Jew or buying from this independent entity called company also requires tefilas kelim with a bracha. Ramosh had his distinction, and this he applies across the board by Hilchos Ribbis. It depends who has the controlling interest. If the controlling interest is a non-Jew, it's treated as a non-Jew. If the controlling interest is a Jew, it's treated as a Jew. If the controlling interest is both, both. But because of this machlokas, Rav Shechter suggested that he thinks that since if maybe a company is a third category. A third category, how do I know I need tefilas kelim if I buy a kli from a third category? So he thought you can't make a bracha on a kli that's bought from a company. It's only if I buy it from a private dealer, you know, a private person. If the kli that's being sold by the company, if there's a kli, I'm sorry, let's be more clear. Not that the company produced the kli, it's being sold actively now by Macy's. I buy it from Macy's. Let's say the local vendor on the street bought a kli that was made by Black & Decker. And now he's selling it. So now a non-Jew bought it. Now I need tefilas kelim if I buy it from the local vendor, if he's not Jewish. But if I buy it from a company, Fortunoffs, then I Rav Shechter thought you couldn't make a bracha on that tefilas kelim. But I don't think that this, you know, if you're a Rav Shechter person, you should be choshish for this. But I haven't seen it anywhere else. We assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman or like Ramosha. Ramosha held it was based on controlling interest, and Rav Shlomo Zalman held that companies are an own thing. But if you buy a kli from a company, you would require tefilas kelim.
Why is it a different company? Why not the guy in China pushes the button, makes the who physically makes it?
I don't understand. Oh, the person who's doing it. Excellent. Very good. Next topic. Says in Shulchan Aruch Sif Yud that a Yisrael who gives metal to a non-Jewish person, to an uman, to make a kli, eino tzarech tefila. Because uman eino kona b'shvach kli. And the Ramah disagrees with Yesh Chokim that you require tefillah without a bracha because the Ramah paskins Uman Kona B'Shvach Kli. The Uman is Kona the Kli because he made it into a Kli. He has some sort of kinyan in the Kli. So Machlokas in the Gemara, and that's it. So Machlokas had a paskin. We're Machmir to be Tovah without a bracha. The Pischei Tshuva quotes from the Chachmas Adam that this halacha is relevant for factories as well. That if it's a Jewish owned factory, and non-Jews work in the factory, then even though it's a Jewish-owned factory, if non-Jews work in the factory and push the buttons, you would require tefillah without a bracha.
There's some type of kinyan in it, is that why?
If they have some sort of, an uman takes some sort of bias, a kinyan in the kli.
Wasn't it referred to a person's mamash being given with their hands and they have a kinyan in it? We're going to equate that with pushing the
button.
I don't know.
I don't think so. Either way, that's the opinion of the Chachmas Adam. The Darkei Tshuva and Rav Moshe and Igros Moshe disagree. And they say, no, that only applies to a Kablan. This whole halacha applies to, I give metal to a guy and I say, build me a kli, and he builds it at his own leisure. If I pay a guy by the hour, he's a poel. There's no uman kona b'shvach kli. When I pay him, that's not to buy back the kelim. He's my poel. So then there's not, everyone would agree, ain uman kona b'shvach kli. So this Chachmas Adam is by and large totally rejected. Chachmas Adam said it the opposite too. If it's a non-Jewish owned factory, but Jewish workers, then you can't make a bracha on the kli, on the tevila, because you have Jewish workers. Maybe uman kona b'shvach kli. It's a Jewish kli, and the pasuk reject that. No, what are you talking about? The non-Jew owns the factory. Those are poa. They're a poa. They're not a kablan. So of course it would require tevila even with a bracha. You're not kone back. The whole halach of uman kone b'shvach kli is a kablon. It's a person I give to it, I say, build me the kli, and I pay you for building me the kli. So then when I pay you for building me the kli, that maybe that's because you had a kinyan in the kli. But if I'm not paying you to build me the kli, I'm paying you to come to work and push buttons.
No, but that's for most, but the problem is that...
It even applies to workers in a factory.
Right, so then, but if it's Jewish,
workers when the guy pays them, they should be
coined
back.
The guy is coined back.
Yeah,
so now it requires tefillos kelim anyway.
Right.
The post can point this out. The chacham hazadim is garshver. The whole thing makes no sense.
This would seem to be against the Gedolei Torah in the beginning. He was saying that Jewish metal could grow the
marriage as well. The Gedolei, yeah. Yeah. The Chazon Ish points out that this is hakol fi minig medina. This is based on dinah d'malchus adina. We're talking about kinyanim. So even if I give it to a koblan, if the guy has no kinyan in the kli, if I give it to a metal worker and he's supposed to make me a kli, but al pi dina de malchus adina, there's no kinyan, I don't also don't have to worry about this halacha. I could do tefillas kelim even with a bracha. Even though the mitzvah of tefillas kelim is just that, it's a mitzvah, it's not necessarily an iser. It says in Shulchan Aruch that there's in the Ramah, in a few two places, that there's an iser to use the kli before tefillas kelim. The Achronim assume that iser is only midrabanan, but it is also to use the kelim before tefillah. So the shayla comes up, Rabbi Neuberger discussed it somewhat, that if I'm eating in someone else's house and I realize gevalt in the middle of the meal, this person wasn't tova their kelim, so I meikra adin cannot continue to eat off of those kelim, because it's an iser shtam shus kodim tefillah. It's not my kli, but I borrowed it from a person. I'm borrowing it from a person who was chayv in tefillah. So it says Shulchan Aruch, if you're borrowing from a person who was chayv in tefillah, shkevin shekvar nischayv biyad arishon, I would be chayv in tefillah. So what eitzes do you have? So we mentioned a few, just to sum up, so we should be, you know, lemaisa. So we mentioned that Rosh Hashanah Zalman held that the only time a person is obligated, that there's an iser to eat off of the kelim, is if I have the possibility of doing tefillah. Let's say I would try and tell this person in the middle of the meal, you know, you really need to do tefillah on these kelim. And he said, you know what, then please leave. So then I have no possibility of doing tefillah on the kelim. So since I have no possibility of doing tefillah on the kelim, there's no iser to use the kelim. You can. Great. But I'm saying, but if you want to leave, that's fine. But I'm saying, but if you feel that you can't leave because that would create other repercussions, I mean, this is larger than our discussion, but I'm saying, you know, for whatever reason you feel you can't leave, it's a family simcha, you're going to march out, it's going to create issues. It's not an issue derisa, this is derabanan, but even either way, huh? Israel Shamsh is only midrabanan. Rabbi Neuberger pointed out that Shlomo Zalman says, but bittul a mitzvah could be a principle midaraisa. That's true.
It's
but I think
your,
even
it's
if it's
mitzvah,
a bittul a mitzvah, we're getting to that. But even if it is just a bittul a mitzvah, could be a concept midaraisa, but we treat it as an isra midrabanan. But either way, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is basically saying that point, that the iser stems from the mitzvah. And if there's no possibility to be mekayim the mitzvah, then there's no iser. Schechter felt the same or applied the same idea to electrical kelim. That if I have an electrical kli that it says in the box, if you tovel it, it will break, then you don't have to do tefillas kelim because it's a mitzvah. I can't do the mitzvah. So then there's no iser. The iser is a function of the mitzvah. Derech Agav, there used to be poskim who would recommend, Rabbi Neuberger discouraged against it, and I think we should, it's a very good policy, but there are poskim, there used to be poskim within the yeshiva who would tell people to be tovel urns. Nothing will happen. You tovel the urn, I did it to mine based on those types of advice. You tovel the urn, you unscrew it, it dries for a week or two, and then you could reuse it, start using it, and it'll be fine. But I think even those poskim within the yeshiva who used to say that have now changed their opinion because I think the urns now break. One of the poskim who used to always say that, we used to tell chassanim to tovel the urn, and then don't worry, it'll continue working, has changed. He doesn't tell people anymore to be tovel urns because they gemaisa do break. So you should be aware of that. Okay, so Rav Shatah held, if it breaks, you're not chayv in tefillas kelim. There's no iser shtamshus. The Beis Avi, which was Rabbi Libis, Rabbi Neuberger quoted, says something slightly different. The Beis Avi says, the only time it says in Shulchan Aruch that I'm obligated to do tefillas kelim if I borrow your kli, kevin shekvar nischai biyad arishon, is if I borrow it. What if I'm just using it at your house? I'm not koneh. I don't have a kinyan sheila. I don't have a kinyan schirus. I have no shaychus to this kli on the fact that I'm sitting at your table. So Beis Avi says, then that's not my kli. I didn't borrow it. It never says in Shulchan Aruch I have to be told with that type of kli. I'm just using it. I didn't borrow it. So he uses that as a svara to say that if I'm stuck in someone's house, why hasn't been told with the kelim, I can continue to eat off the kelim. What he's basically saying is a different, slightly different point. That the chiyuv of tefilas kelim is really on the owner, not on the mishtamesh. If I borrow it, I become a mixas owner. Or if I rent it, I become a pseudo owner. But if I just use it, I'm not the owner at all. It's not my obligation, it's your obligation.
It's a catering, it's owner or it's borrower.
Huh?
If I pay catering, I'm not the owner, I not borrow.
Okay, if you had a okay. But if you're the caterer, then you have a problem.
They use.
If you're the caterer, you own them.
Does it apply to a restaurant also?
No, the if I'm eating at a restaurant, that hasn't been told by the kelim. Let's say they rely on the shave it's over, and I don't rely on the shave it's over. Right, so then maybe you'd have that sort too.
You don't have to put yourself in a position that you
haven't put yourself in that situation. Like,
should call Tarakul Shaira. And take a shrizz and hotel.
Huh?
Take a shrizz and hotel.
Yeah.
And they are
there. We'll talk about it later. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Ramosha again had his svar that Rabbi Neuberger mentioned also, that it's only if the kli is required for the eating. If it's just that it would be uncivilized to do something else, you know, to eat with your hands or to eat off the table, so then that's not called using the kli. So therefore, the main problem would be on bowls or cups or spoons or things like that, where you would need the utensil for more intensively. Those are the basic svaras that one could rely upon, or one could try and rely upon when confronted with this situation. I don't think, to address your point, I don't think these kulas are accepted barafos. Nobody loves these kulas. We use them if you have to, but I don't think we would. The base avi is great. Yes, that's, you know, go ahead and do it with chachira. Right.
Well, no.
Right. Another place that this comes up, and this is the last shayla we wanted to deal with, is with this issue, types of issues come up, is on if I buy a kli that already comes with food, like a can or a Snapple bottle. So since there's an Isser Stamsha, so right away when I buy the Snapple bottle, I have to pour it out. I buy the can, I have to open the can and pour it out. Leaving it in the can, isn't that a Stamsha? We mentioned clay oats are Isser Stamsha. We are a machmer to be tovo, yet without a bracha, but that should be tovo. Machlokas, and we're machmer to be tovo without a bracha. So a tin can, I should be to be tovo without a bracha. So it's disposable. So it's a shayla. Disposable, though, is somewhat of a shayla, and let's say it could last for longer. A Snapple bottle or a can could last. So maybe it's more of a shayla. What? We are making. Have you ever seen anyone who opens cans and hears their voice? We're getting to that. You're stealing the punchline. So the Poskim dealt with the Shaila. The Sri Yesh has a famous tshuva about it. Other Poskim also. And then it's tired for a bunch of kulas. A, maybe it's disposable. B, they say, I don't have a mind to be calling the kli. When I buy the beans, I just want to buy the beans. I could care less about the kli. Vaharaya, I throw it out the minute I open the can. So obviously I don't really care about the can, I care about the beans, just it has to come in something. So it's kind of like a hefker, I never had a mind to be kona the kli. But more, I think this is more important, is that they say that that's a shimush b'shev al taseh. When is clay otzer chayiv? Is if I put it in a clay otzer. That's kumvaseh. If it comes in the kli, I haven't taken it out yet. That's b'shev al taseh. Shimush b'shev al taseh is not called a shimush. Right. Yes. We'll get into that. So Shlomo Zalman felt, this is somewhat of a discussion. Let's say I want to eat out of the kli. I want to eat the beans, or I want to drink the Snapple out of the Snapple bottle, or eat the sardines out of the can. So can I do that? So somehow, no. That's then you're using it as a clay suda. So Shlomo Zalman said, no, I'm not using it as a clay suda. I don't mean to endow it with the status of clay suda. How do I know? I throw it out after I'm done. So what am I doing? I'm just trying to get the food out. That's also called b'shev al taseh. Eating out of the kli is not necessarily called b'kum vaseh. That's called b'shev al taseh. Why? Because I'm not making, it's not a kli suda b'kum vaseh. I'm just getting it out in a different type of way. So the Sefer Tefilos Kelim quotes from Shlomo Zalman that you can drink out of these type of kelim. Shechter has machmir on that. And this goes together with his chumra. A Snapple bottle is disposable, but he held the Snapple bottle is not disposable because it could be used more than once. So the tin pans are better, even if we don't, we're not machmir about that by the tin pans, because it could be tin pans cannot be used more than once. Snapple bottles can clearly be used more than once. So maybe the disposable heter is not as strong. And Rav Shachter was machmir that he feels drinking out of a Snapple bottle is called kumvase. Shlomo Zalman held it's not called kumvase.
Pouring out of it
is sheval tase. Pouring into a cup is sheval tase. So what about a straw? So Shachter was masupik about a straw. Is that called sheval tase, kumvase? But pouring out into a cup would clearly be sheval tase. But this is all based on that part of the svidayesh of the kula, which is that this ishtamshus is sheval tase. One could also say I don't have a mind to be calling the bottle. I think it's also a good svara, but this is all working off the fact that I think Rav Shachter felt the main point of the Shvidiyesh was the Shev Al Tase svara. Rav Moshe held the difference. Yeah.
Can you make the bottle hefter and not the dump?
I never had a mind to be calling the bottle. That's what the post can say.
You have to have in mind not to be calling the bottle.
Huh? I would think so. Yeah.
Is that Rav
Shachter? Okay, we'll get there. One, so just let me finish. We're almost done. Let me just finish. You want to ask? Yeah.
Just like, what do you do with the fact that you actually, at least the Metzius is in the United States, you actually buy the bottle.
Of course, you buy the bottle.
You pay a bottle deposit and you
return it.
You return it and you get it. You know, even if you throw it out, you bought the bottle, you spent money for it.
I never had a mind to be Conan. Halachically, I was never going to.
I was just giving away that money.
All right, but anyway, Rav Moshe had a different svar, which I think helps here. Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe added. Again, all the poskim who say these things would say you can't use it again. Shlomo Zalman said you can't use it again. Obviously, let's say I have a Snapple bottle. I want to refill it with iced tea. And that required tefillos kelim. It's like a regular kli that I bought. So Rav Moshe said he could even reuse it because he felt he amplified this type of svar that I wasn't buying the bottle because the Gemara says in Erevin. That when they when one is dealing with Maaser Sheni money, again you pulled it, your Maaser Sheni. Let's say I live, I don't know, somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael, and pulled my Maaser Sheni money, and I bring it to Yerushalayim to spend on Yerushalayim. So the pasuk says you can only spend it on food items. So I buy a Snapple, right? Can I buy the bottle too? So the Gemara in Erevin says you could buy drinks. How can you buy drinks? Must be I'm buying the bottle too. How can I spend Maaser Sheni money on the bottle? So Moshe says obviously. That's bottle to the ochel. When I buy a drink, the bottle is bottle to the ochel. Varais, I can use my sasheni money for it. So Moshe says, so therefore when I open the snapple bottle, drink all the liquid, and now I want to use it again. So the bottle before was a garnish. That wasn't a kli. Who made it into a kli? Me, when I decided to use it again. So Moshe thinks that's called the Jewish kli. And because who made it into a kli was me. Because before it was bottle to the ochel. So I can continue to use it even more than one time. That's, another extreme.
Same by the
from Rav Shachter. The tin pans, no, because when I buy tin pans, I buy tin pans. Rabbi Bluth employed that svara, a kind of similar logic as Rav Moshe, but it's not the same. Rav Moshe was talking about if I buy it with food. But therefore, we discussed the Shaila and Shir about a person who gets a candy dish with candy in it. So I think a tzad l'hakel could be that that's called b'shev al tase. Slowly you take off the candy, and that's like taking beans out of a can. So the same way we're not machmer to pour the beans out of a can, maybe we should be makel to, at least by glass kelim, which is only derabanan, makel to, that should be called shev al tase.
So the promotion
Right, that's what we'll come to drink out of the snapper bottle. But in different things. Shlomo Zalman would say one time, or Moshe would say even more than one time.
The same thing by bowls, where you're taking the content from your spoon.